Marilyn Horne in full flight is like a gambler who wins every game. She nails the most complicated florid passages. She leaps effortlessly from one end of her nearly 3-octave range to the other. She commands the full spectrum of dynamics. And in contrast to her staggering coloratura, she can also mesmerize us with perfect legato phrases. She was barely 4 years old, a little girl in Bradford, Pennsylvania, when her father, a connoisseur of good singing, heard her singing away and thought, there's a voice. Within a few years, she had a voice teacher who gave her the basic foundation of breath support that sustained her from then on. Her family moved to Southern California when she was 11, and in her teens, her musicality and versatility developed by leaps and bounds. One of her early credits was providing the dubbed singing voice of Dorothy Dandridge in the film of Carmen Jones. On screen, Dandridge was fabulously sexy. The young Horne's voice suited her perfectly.
How can a lady drink alone? How can a lady dance alone? No lady can romance alone. I ought to have a sweetie pie. Do what I had, I'll give the air.
Horne studied at the University of Southern California, acquiring an encyclopedic knowledge of the voice and what it could do. At 20, she debuted in opera as Hata, the contralto in The Bartered Bride. But she had easy top notes, too, and figured she was a soprano. She moved to Germany in 1957 to build her repertoire in Gelsenkirchen, singing soprano heroines. Among them were Mimi, Minnie, Amelia Grimaldi, Tatiana, and, surprisingly enough, the title role of Donizetti's Daughter of the Regiment. When Lyric Opera discovered her, she was cast in the company's first world premiere, Vittorio Giannini's The Harvest, in 1961. She was Carmen in San Francisco, but at the Hollywood Bowl, she sang Mimi. Everything changed with what Horne later referred to as the advent of Destino, her partnership with soprano Joan Sutherland. Their first venture together was a New York concert performance of Bellini's Beatrice di Tenda, which really was a Sutherland showcase. But then came Rossini's Semiramide. Horne was apprehensive. She was still frequently singing soprano, and here she was in Belcanto's showiest and most heroic contralto role. But at the first performance in Los Angeles, the audience went nuts. In 1971, WFMT's first lyric broadcast was Semiramide. The vocal prowess of Sutherland and Horne instantly created their own golden age of singing. In a studio recording, their unique vocal unanimity is almost unearthly. Oh. On stage, Bellini's Norma was the other major Sutherland horn vehicle, most memorably for horn's Metropolitan Opera debut. Lyric Opera realized horn was more than ready to be a headliner on her own. They presented her as Rossini's Rosina, and in 1970, they brought out L'Italiana in Algeri especially for her. The role of Isabella showed off not just her vocal technique, but her wonderful sense of humor. We didn't see anything of Horn at Lyric for 13 years. When she came back in 1984, it was with a bang. A Marilyn Horn Festival presented Handel's Rinaldo in concert, a separate concert with our orchestra, and a recital. Horn adored recital repertoire and was wonderful in it. One Schumann song on that program at Lyric was a Horn specialty. A young girl is excited because she's telling her fortune with cards while her mother's asleep.
Schlief die Mutter endlich ein über ihre Hausvorstelle. Nadel liege Dud und Stille. Nähen immer, nähen nein. Nähen immer, nähen nein. Legen will ich mir die Karten ein. Was wird das Ende sein? Ei, was wird das Ende sein?
Horn gave Lyric three more portrayals. Two were in the category that she called her general Horn roles. The heroes of Handel's Orlando and Rossini's Tancredi. In between those two, she returned to comedy as Dame Quickly in Falstaff, a role that gave us all her vitality, robust tone, humor, and her delight in being a storyteller on stage. Horn sang at all the major houses worldwide. Whether on stage or on records, she restored any number of operas to the repertoire because she believed in them, and they suited her voice. Works of Vivaldi, Handel, Bellini, Thomas, and of course, her beloved Gioacchino Rossini. Horn's last appearance in Chicago came in 1999 when she sang a recital at Symphony Center. Today, she remains totally connected to singing. There are any number of major stars who regularly benefit from her wisdom. Since 1997, she's directed the voice program for young artists at Santa Barbara's Music Academy of the West. When Horn was 60, she founded the Marilyn Horn Foundation to promote the art of the song recital all over the country. The foundation has given performance opportunities to many of today's most gifted young artists, one of whom is a mezzo who sung five roles at Lyric Opera in recent seasons, Jamie Barton.
For me, the thing that has struck me the most is that no matter what kind of opera work she's done, no matter what kind of gala and concert work she's done, her recitals have reached further than anybody. She has taken her love of that art form and made it available to the performers, made it available to the audiences, taken it across the United States into halls that we've never even heard of. She's really been such a champion for this art form, and to me, that's her legacy. Being a champion for the singer, being a champion for the art, and being a champion for the people who have the chance to hear it, to be able to hear it.
Marilyn Horn, a complete artist, a gift to singing, an American treasure.